Today's shiur is Masech Nedarim Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah says, Hanoidem min acholof, if somebody made a neder that he's not going to eat milk, muta bekum. So the Mishnah says he's allowed to have kum. Kum, most Rishonim explain, is whey. Way we know when cheese is made, we take milk and we let it curdle, and the liquid that's separated is considered whey. And most Rishonim say that, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, whey is not included in the Isser that one prohibit upon himself milk. However, there are Rishonim that disagree, and there are Rishonim that say that the definition of kum is not whey, but rather it means curdled milk, or maybe others would call it sour milk. And the Chasam Sofer wants to say that the machloikis regarding the definition of what kum is actually related to machloikis in Masech Techulin, machloikis Rishonim. He says that the Rishonim discuss Masech Techulin, that the Gemara Masech Techulin and Bechairis discusses why is it permitted to drink milk? Why isn't milk considered eva menachai? So the Gemara brings specific psukim to teach us that milk is permitted to be, is permitted. The pasuk, one pasuk the Gemara brings is Eretz Zavos Chol V'Davash. So now we have a machloikas Rishonim. How far ranging does the heter of milk go? The Ramban says that only milk is excluded from the Isser of Eivim Menachai, but not kum, not whey. And therefore he says that one would not be allowed to drink or eat whey. Rabbeinu Simcha disagrees, and he holds that whey may be consumed, because he says that the exclusion that applies to milk from Eivim Menachai also applies to whey. Says the machloikas Rishonim we have in our Mishnah regarding the definition of kum is related to that machloikas. The man dom in our Mishnah who says that way is that kum means way is the man dom that holds, like Rabbeinu Simcha, that way is permitted. The Ravid who explains that our Mishnah kum is curdled milk, because he says it couldn't mean way, because way is anyway usur, because it's Eivim Menachai. The Taz disagrees, and he says that even according to the Rishonim, the Shita of the Ramban, that whey is prohibited, that it's only prohibited from eating. Our Mishnah is speaking about a nether, about having benefit, and that even the Ramban would agree, kum, whey, would be permitted to be benefited from. And therefore, the Taz says that this machloikis is not connected, not related to the machloikis about what is the status about the consumption of whey. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's the way we paskin, the whey is, if it's kosher, under certain circumstances, matters how it was processed, but whey is included in the heter of milk. Continues the Mishnah of Rabbi Yossi Oyser. Rabbi Yossi, however, says that if one made a neder that he's not allowed to eat cholov, he also may not eat kum. Matter kum. If he made a neder not to eat kum, there everybody agrees that muta b'cholov, he's allowed to drink milk. Abishol says, Hanoider min agvino. If one makes a neder that he's not allowed to eat cheese, osoba, he's not allowed to eat any type of cheese, bein melucha or tfeila. Whether the meat, the cheese is salted or not salted, it is permitted. And here too, we find an interesting points that are made by the Rishonim. One point the Rishonim make is that even though cheese is typically salted, our Mishnah is still teaching us that in the Isser, in the nether, one made not to eat cheese, even unsalted cheese is included. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, going back to what we discussed in the previous year, that even though the person used the hay, hagvina, and as we learned in the previous year, when somebody uses such a wording, it certainly typically means the most significant form of that food. Still, here when somebody used the word hagvina, it does not include, it includes even unsalted cheese. Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim and Abosar, a son makes a neder that he won't eat meat, mutter beroita bekeeper. He's allowed to eat meat gravy, the meat sauce, and the meat shreds. Small shreds of meat would fall to the bottom of the pot during the cooking process, and those are called keeper. Omer Behuda, says Rabbi Behuda, Massav also lain Rav Tarfin, Bebeim Shinz Bashli Moy. There was once a situation where somebody had prohibited upon himself to eat meat, and in the same pot there were eggs being cooked, and the halacha was, the Rav Tarfin said, that we may not eat the eggs cooked together with the meat. So why is our Mishnah saying that it's permitted? Omerloi, so they responded, Kenadover. Indeed, there was such a case where Rav Tarfin said such a psak. However, Amosai, when did Rav Tarfin say this? Bizman sh'oma bosa ze olai. If somebody used the words bosa ze, as the Ran explains, shavya nafshei chaticha di sura, it's a much stronger type of prohibition, and that's why the halacha is that not only is the meat osur, but anything that derives from the meat, and even the foods that were cooked along with the meat. Shanoida menadover. If somebody made a neder, they won't have a specific thing. And then that thing that I prohibited myself from having benefit from got mixed up with other things. The halacha is if it has the ability to give off flavor. Typically, the shear is shishim 60-1 asur. And actually, I saw the Paiskim discuss that this concept is relevant la halacha lemaisa. Regarding the 9 days, we know that during the 9 days, one may not eat meat. The question is, what about products that have in them a taste of meat? So the Mishnah Brura says that to use a fleishig pot, a pot that was used before for fleishig, but there's nothing meat in the recipe, in the food that I'm actually preparing now, says the Mishnah Brura, that certainly is mutter. In fact, the Mishnah Brura goes on to say, quotes in the Sharet Sion, he quotes a Prima Godim, that as we just said a moment ago, we know that the sheer bittel, the sheer for nullification for tam, is typically a 60th, and we do not rely on just tasting if the food has the prohibited taste or not. He says, regarding such a situation, that if a drop of meat fell into a dish, and there isn't 60 times the meat in the dish, but if one were to taste this food, he would not discern a taste of meat. During the 9 days, such food may be eaten. Continues the Mishnah. Hanoidim and Ayayin. And one makes a neder that he will not drink wine. Mutar tafshel shesh b'tam yayin. He's allowed to have a dish that has in it the taste of wine. Omer, if he said, koinim yayin zesh anitayim. But if he specified this wine, and as Duran again says, because it's a situation of shavu nafshe chaticha desura, and then with nafal tafshel, if it falls into a food, there halacha is im yesh b'minayim from tam, if it has the ability to give taste to the dish, hareza osur, the entire dish is forbidden to be eaten. Here too, the Paiskim discuss the shayla of the 9 days, because we know that during the 9 days, just like as we said a moment ago, one may not eat meat besides on Shabbos. One may not drink wine besides on Shabbos. What will be the halacha regarding dishes, the many cakes that in the recipe there is wine included? Would it be mutter to eat such a cake or not? The Shevet HaLevi says that one should not eat such a cake if the wine gives off a discernible taste. Shuvas HaHagis is more lenient. And he says if the wine is there only to give taste, it's not really called a product of wine, it would be permitted to eat that cake. As we learn our Gemara, and we observe on the Omid, the Ran, we see there's a very long and beautiful Ran on our Sugya. And just, even though we will not have the time to learn the Ran inside, it's worth repeating the concepts the Ran discusses, very important halachic concepts. The Ran asks a question. He says, one of the fundamental halachas of bittul, one of the fundamental halachas when we do not say bittul, rather, is by dover shiesh lematirim, something that will ultimately become mutter anyway, it will become permitted anyway, we don't say bittul. And the Ran quotes that we're going to learn a mitzvah shem later in our Masechta, and we've discussed this already, that every nether is actually a dover shiesh lematirim, because every nether we know can be annulled by going to the Chacham and having a Taurus Nadarim. And therefore, asked the Ran, why should it be that this food, meat, the wine, whatever we're discussing, should become bottle under certain circumstances? Why don't we consider it a Dovah Shesh Lematirim? Although the Mefarshim do point out that a nether is not your typical type of a Dovah Shesh Lematirim, because what is the classical case of a Dovah Shesh Lematirim? Where in Shas is this concept introduced to us? It's a Gemara Masechta Beya. The Gemara says, Beya Shenol de Yontif, an egg which is hatched in Yontif, which is muksa, and then that, and may therefore not be eaten or moved on Yontif. If that egg falls into other eggs, that egg does not become bottle, because it's Dovah Shesh Lematirim. After Yontif, it won't be muksa. But if we look at that example, the egg will become itself mutter automatically after Yontif. It's a Dovah Shesh Lematirim inherently. However, the Dovah Shesh Lematirim that we're discussing in our Shia today, the Dovah Shesh Lematirim, which is very different. It's a Dovah Shesh Lematirim that needs a Chacham to be matted in the nether, as we discussed the Sugyas. So Mefarshim explained that although Nedarim have this disadvantage versus all other Dovah Shesh Lematirims, all other Dovah Shesh Lematirims become mutter automatically by themselves. The Dorim aren't so. But on the other hand, the Dorim have an advantage which other Dovah Shesh Lematirims don't. As we've learned, when a Chacham is matter or nether, he's oiker ha-nether mi-karoi. He completely uproots and annuls the nether. And therefore, the disadvantage that the Dorim have, that they don't become automatically mutter, are cancelled out by the advantage it has that it becomes annulled. It's an oiker mi-karoi. So therefore, we go back to the question of the Ran. Why is our Mishnah discussing the concept of bittul when it's a Dovah Shesh Lematirim? So the Ran goes into a very long explanation where he discusses the fundamental concepts of bittul. And he explains. Bittul, which we know means nullification. If something usur falls into a heter, under certain circumstances we will say it becomes bottle, it becomes nullified. Under certain circumstances we will say it will not become nullified. He says, what triggers bittul? He says, what triggers bittul is if there is a dissimilarity. A dissimilarity. It's not the same. The item we want should be bottle to the rest of the food that it fell into. He says the more dissimilar, the more it's not the same, the more likely are we to say bittul. And therefore he says, a dovah shesh lematirim, something that's going to be mutter anyway, that fell into some other items that are mutter currently, are very similar. This is mutter. This is going to be mutter, and therefore we cannot employ the concept of bittul. However, says the Ran, that if we have a situation where the two foods, that the mixture of foods that we have are different, case of our Mishnah, egg and meat, so they're physically different, coupled with the fact that, yes, it's a Dovah Shesh Lematirim, but right now it's not mutter, that causes this situation to be a situation of two not same items, where the concept of Dovah Shesh Lematirim will be not employed, rather the halachas of bittul will be effective. Because the more dissimilar, it becomes more of a situation of bittul. It's interesting to note that Rashi in Masechta Beya gives a completely different explanation for why by Dovah Shesh Lematirim we do not say bittul. And Rashi's explanation is, Going back to our egg that was born on Yontif. Rashi says, why get into a shaila of eating it on Yontif? Wait till after Yontif. On Yontif, there's a shaila. After Yontif, there's no shaila. And in fact, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks on the Ran, how could the Ran explain that the concept of Dovashesh Matirim is it the same or is it not the same? Where we know that this concept of Dovashesh Matirim is applied in another area of halacha. And that is, we know that throughout Shas, the halacha is Sofik Drabonin Lakula, that we have a Drabonin, Shaila by Drabonin, but if it's a Sofik Drabonin, we're Makel. We're not Makel by Dovashesh Matirim. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger. If we follow the concept that Rashi taught us of Atcha Techlena Be'isser, Techlena Be'heter, we could understand, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, why, even when it's not a question of Bittul, when it's just a Shaila of Sofk Drabonin, are we going to be Machmer by Dovashesh Lamatirim? Wait without till we have no longer a Shaila. But if the concept is the Ran that has to do with Bittul, why? What does that have to do with the concept of Sofk Drabonin? Says therefore Rabbi Kiva Eger that the Ran will have to agree also to Rashi's logic of Atcha Techlena Be'isser, Techlena Be'heter. So obviously the Mefarshim ask, if the Ran is anyway subscribing to Rashi's concept, why do we have to have the Ran add this long Ran that we are now learning about Min B'Minoi? It explains Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that in Hilchus, that when Chazal make a gzeira, when Chazal make a takana, there are two parts to it. The first part of it is why. Why is there a reason to make a gzeira? And the second part is the implementation of the gzeira. When Chazal implement the gzeira, they try to fashion the implementation to be similar to other areas we find in halacha. And therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, yes, agrees the Ran. The reason Chazal said a Dovashesh Lematirin is different is because he agrees to Rashi's concept of Atcha Techlena Be'isser, Techlena Be'heter. But now, says Rabbi Chanan in understanding the Ran says that Chazal wanted to fashion this concept of Dovashesh Lematirin to other areas of Bittul, where in Bittul there is a very significant difference between Min B'Minoi, if two similar items get mixed, to min b'she'ena mina, two dissimilar items, and that's why Chazal chose to use that as the model. What is the nafgamina between the Ran's approach and Rashi's approach? There's a tshuva from the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek discusses the following shaila. Going back to the Be'yish and all the Beyontif. The Be'yish and all the Beyontif, if it's a regular egg, it's a Dovashesh Lamatirim. After Yontif, it's not going to be Muksa anymore. Ask the Tzemach Tzedek, what would be if this egg, besides being an egg that was born in Yontif, is also an egg that was born from a chicken that's a treifa? So now when this egg falls into other eggs that are not problematic, the Yontif Isser will fall off right after Yontif. But it will still remain prohibited because it's a treifa. Do we say bittul? Do we not say bittul? Says the Tzemach Tzedek. According to Rashi, who explained that Atcha Techlena Be'isser, Techlena Be'heter, we always want to have as much Isser removed. We certainly should wait till after Yontif. For although it will still be an Osir egg, because it's Treifa, but the problem of Muksa at least has been removed. But according to the Ran, whose explanation is that it's based on, is it similar? Is it not similar? Certainly an egg which is Treifa, that falls into other eggs that are not Treifa, are not the same. It's not a Min B'Minoi. And therefore, the concept of bittul could be triggered, and the Ran would say that that egg that fell in on Yontif to other eggs would be bittul. Another nafkamina between Rashi and the Ran is a concept discussed by the Minchas Chinuch. He says, in a situation where we have this item that I may not benefit from, that fell into other items, this mixture. So now it's a mixture. If we employ the regular Hilchus Bittul, which is what Rashi should say, then we can't consider a Dovashesh Lamatirim, because the mixture has already been created. we would only consider it perhaps a davar sheyesh lematirin, according to Rashi, suggests the Mechitz Chinuch, if I had more of the item that I may not be benefit from, and that extra that did not fall into the mixture, I could be matan neder on, I could have a kiras chacham on, and therefore it would be a situation of davar sheyesh lematirin. According to the Ran, however, we were looking at the physical trait of this item. And given that this is an item which is a davar sheyesh lematirin, even if in this specific circumstance it's not a davar sheyesh lematirin, because it's already all in a mixture and there's nothing that's not in the mixture that it could be matan neder on, the Ran would still consider it a situation of a davar sheyesh lematirin. And therefore, according to the Ran's understanding, if it fell into an item that it's similar to, we cannot say the concept, we cannot allow it to become bottled. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara, according to the Ran, is now asking a question on Rabbi Yossi's opinion. According to Rabbi Yossi, if somebody said that he's not going to drink milk, he also may not eat kum, he may not have whey. V'rminu, we're going to learn a Mishnah, minat doshim, if somebody made a neder, that he's not allowed to have lentils, the loch is also bashishim. He's not allowed to even eat honey-fried lentils. Rabbi Yossi matter. Rabbi Yossi says he is allowed to eat honey-fried lentils. So the Gemara's question is a very strong question. If we're going to compare honey-fried lentils to lentils, or whey to milk, honey-fried lentils are much closer to lentils than whey is to milk. So if Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says that if somebody's not allowed to drink milk, he's not allowed to drink whey, certainly Rabbi Yossi should hold that if somebody may not eat lentils, he may not eat honey-fried lentils. Yet we find that in our Mishnah, he allows this person to eat, not to eat the whey, and here he allows him to eat the honey-fried lentils. That's the way the Ran explains the Gemara's question. Tosfos explains the Gemara's question applies even to the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan is, why in our Mishnah are they makel by the whey, and by the lentils are they machmer? Loi kasha, says the Gemara, going back to the concept, to the basic concept of our entire perek, ma kasrei ba kasrei. Nedarim holchem acha loshem b'nei adam. By nedarim we follow the way people speak. Ba'asad Rabbonim, where the Rabbonim lived, kar l'chalba chalba, milk was called milk, l'kuma kuma, and whey was called whey. And therefore whey is not considered related to milk, and therefore somebody made a nether that he's not going to drink milk, it has no impact on whey. However, Ba'asod Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi lived, L'kuma nami kar l'kuma d'chalba. Whey was also called kuma d'chalba. So whey was connected to milk, and since whey was connected to milk, therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, if one may not eat milk, he may not have whey. What about adoshim? Adoshim and ashishim, lentils and honey-fried lentils, were considered two different foods, and therefore, they're not connected, and one has nothing to do with the other. And many Rishonim say that according to our Gemara, now we no longer have a machlokes in our Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi, because they're not really arguing on a conceptual basis, on a basic arguing on the usage wording in different locales. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hanoidim and a Cholov, if somebody made a neder that he won't have milk, Mutar b'kum, he may have whey. Menachum, if he made a neder that he won't have whey, mutar b'cholov, he may have milk. Menacholov, if somebody made a neder that he won't have milk, the loch is mutar b'gvina, he may have menacholov, mutar b'gvina, he may have cheese. Menagvina, if somebody made a neder that he won't have cheese, mutar b'cholov, he may have milk. Menaroitiv, if somebody made a neder that he won't have the gravy, the sauce of the meat dish, mutar b'kipa, he's allowed to have the shreds. Menakipa, if he's made a neder, he's not going to have the shreds. Mutar b'roitiv, he may have the gravy. However, as we learned in our Mishnah, if Omar bosa zeh olai, if he was specific in saying bosa zeh, osa boy u'b'roitiv b'kipa, then he may not have the meat, nor the gravy, nor the shreds. Hanoidim menayayin, if somebody makes a neder that he won't drink wine, mutar b'tavshil sheyesh b'tam yayin, he may have any food that has in it a taste of wine. However, once he said that he won't eat this specific wine, And even then, if nafal toich tafshel, and then this wine falls into a dish, im yesh by tam yain, and it has the taste of the wine, the loch is a reza osur, one may not eat that dish. Mishnah continues. Hanoidim and anovim. If someone makes a neder that he won't eat grapes, mutter b'yayin, he may drink wine. Min azeisim, if he made a neder that he won't eat olives, mutter b'shemen, he may drink oil. And the Sefer Meroime Soda points out an interesting shaila. He says, obviously, the Dalokha, the Mishnah, is teaching us that if somebody speaks about grapes, olives, that he's allowed to have the wine, he's allowed to have the olive oil. It's not only by grapes and olives. It's by all fruits. If he makes another, he's not going to have apples, he's not going to have pears. He's going to be allowed to eat apple juice and pear juice. So ask the Meroime Soda, why does the Mishnah speak about wine and oil specifically? It should have said a more general halacha. Answers the Meroime Soda. The Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush. In all other fruits, in all other vegetables, the juice is not such an important, integral growth of the fruit and vegetable. And therefore, it's understood that if somebody says that he's not going to eat the fruit or vegetable, it has nothing to do with the, and therefore he's certainly allowed to have the juice. But as we know, wine, olive oil, are such important parts of grapes and olives. There we would think, says the Meroime Soda, that he may, if he just said grapes, he just said olives, he still may not drink the wine and have the olive oil. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if one says grapes, he's allowed to have wine. And even if one says olives, he's allowed to have the olive oil. Continues the Mishnah. He used a stronger language. And the Gemara Mitzvah in a moment will help us try to understand what is the strength of this language. So the Nidri's reason makes two comments. One comment, he says, different than the Meroime Soda. He says that even in a situation where somebody says, that the Mishnah now says the halacha is that he can't drink the wine, that he can't have the olive oil, says the Nidri's reason, it's only by grapes and by olives, as we explained a moment ago, since they're so significant. But by all other fruits, even if somebody said this stronger language of kainim, let's say a pear, kainim a pear, shteh, sheni toyim, still the halacha would be that he would be allowed to have pear juice. Once one thing the Nidri's reason says. Another ha'ara, the Nidri's reason makes in the Mishnah, is he's somewhat bothered by the Mishnah changing its terminology. In the Reisha, the Mishnah speaks about wine, yayin, about shem and olive oil. And the Sefer, the Mishnah speaks about kiyotze behen. And he asks, why doesn't the Mishnah remain consistent in its wording? So he says, the Mishnah is teaching us the following chiddush. He says, there are two ways liquids are extracted from a fruit. Sometimes they're squeezed, they're pressed to extract the liquid. And sometimes the liquid oozes out by itself. And he says that the Mishnah is trying to teach us the two extremes. In the ratio, where the person only said the word anovim, the person only said the word shemen, the halacha is that even wine, which was specifically pressed, olive oil, which was specifically pressed, is not prohibited. In the sefer, however, where the person used this stronger language, and again, in a moment we're going to begin learning what is the difference, where he used the stronger language, the halacha is that even hayoytzimehen, even the juice that oozes out by itself will be usur, and certainly the wine that was pressed specifically to be made as wine, and certainly the olive oil that was specifically pressed to be olive oil would be usur. Ask the Gemara in understanding the Sefer, Boy Rami Bachoma, Elu Dafka, what makes it more of a neder in the Sefer that not only the grapes and the olives are osur, but even whatever comes out? Is the word elu that was used, or sheni toim dafko? Or was it the words sheni toim that was used? Ask the Gemara, isal kadaitech elu dafko, if we're going to say that the word elu is the critical part of the Sefer, so ask the Gemara sheni toim lamali, why does the Mishnah have to use the word sheni toim? If it's elu that makes the difference, Answers the Gemara, Hokum Hashmon. What the Mishnah is teaching us is, the af agav the omer sheni toyim. Even if a person used the word sheni toyim, e the omer elu. If he used the word elu, then mitzer, he may not have not only not the grape and the al, but whatever comes out from it. And v'loy, if he didn't use that word, loy, then he may not, then he may have the juice that comes out. And as Duran explains, the Gemara could go the other way also. If the word sheni toyim is the critical word in the Seifa, then the shak v'tayr of the Gemara would be, if sheni toyim is what's critical, why does the Mishnah include the word elu? And here too, the Gemara would have said, the Mishnah is trying to teach us, that only because he used the words elu does it make a difference. But if he used just the word sheni toyim, it wouldn't make a difference. And the Ran also points out that actually the Gemara could have answered this Shaila based on the Brisa that we just learned before this, the Mishnah, where he said Bosa Zeh. So he said the word Zeh is the critical word. However, says the Ran, the Gemara, if possible, prefers to bring a Raya from a Mishnah versus just bringing a Raya from a Brisa to answer its Kasha. Amar Rava, so Rava brings the following Raya. Tashma, it says in the Mishnah, Koinem Peres Elu Alai, if somebody says the words Koinem Peres Elu, or somebody says Koinem Hein Lefi, the Aloch is also B'chulufayim, he may not eat fruits that are exchanged for these fruits, or B'gdaleim, if we plant this fruit and another fruit comes out, that fruit that grows out, that emanates from the first fruit that I may not partake from, is also awesome. Habiyotz behen, but the juice that extracted is mutter. For the Gemara's learning, says Duran, that what is a bigger chiddush? The bigger chiddush, says Duran, is to, at, in this point of the Gemara, that something that the juice should be asur is a bigger chiddush than to tell us chilufeim and geduleim are asur. Why? Because by geduleim, as we explained when we learned the sugya previously, the geduleim are extension of the fruit that I may not participate from. In chilufeihem, we still have the original fruit extent. It just was exchanged for another fruit. And therefore, it makes all the sense to say that they're awesome. Yoitz mehen is not the original fruit. It's only what was extracted from the original fruit. If the halacha were to be, says the Gemara, that when Yohan uses the word elu, even hayoitz mehen, even the juice extracted is awesome, that Mishnah should have taught us that din. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't teach us that din comes to teach us that if one used the word elu, he'll be aser b'chulufeyem. He'll be aser b'guduleyem. But we'll not be aser b'yoytzimen. Says the Gemara, that line of reasoning is incorrect. Hu adin dafilu b'yoytzimen aser. Wrong. A juice is considered more connected than chulufeyem, more than chulufeyem. And that's why the Mishnah there, Hadifa Le'yashminen, is teaching us a bigger chiddush. The chlufeim kiduleim domi. Yoitz mehen is certainly awesome. Kiduleim, we could understand, are certainly awesome. As we've been explaining, the kiduleim are an extension of the original fruit. The chlufeim have no connection at all to the original fruit. One would perhaps think that they should not be awesome. Teaches us the Mishnah, the chlufeim is awesome. But Yoitz mehen is certainly awesome. Toshma, so the Gemara ties from further in the Mishnah. If somebody says sheni oichel sheni toyim, muta bechulufeim begedaleim. Ha yoytzimahen, aser, because only chulufeim and geduleim the Mishnah is permitting, not yoytzimahen. If yoytzimahen were mutter, and we're learning now, explained the Rishonim, that yoytzimahen is a bigger chiddush, we should have said yoytzimahen is mutter, says the Gemara. First, since the first part of the Mishnah did not speak about Yoitzman for the reason we just gave, because the Mishnah wanted to teach us the din of Chilufeyim, which the Tana thought and is a bigger Chiddush, and therefore was more focused on, that's why Loi Nosav Nami B'Sefer Yoitzman doesn't discuss in the Sefer what the halacha of Yoitzman is, but we don't really know what the halacha of Yoitzman is when somebody uses the words Sheni Oichel V'Sheni Toyim. Toshma. Amr Yehuda, let's see our Mishnah that we learned on Amr Aleph. Ma'is of Amr of Tarfin, Vos of Tarfin alai, Beim Shin's Bashli Imai. One was not allowed to eat meat, and he prohibited the eggs that were cooked with that meat. Amar loy, so the Chachamim said to Ratarfin, Emesai, when was that said? Bezman shama bosa ze olai. So he said the word bosa. Shanoidim and adover, since he used the word ze, and then that food that he says, I'm not going to eat, this Arab acher, the Yeshba Benoist Taman has the ability to give off taste in the food, in the mixture that it falls into, Hareza Asa. So clearly we see here, says the Gemara, that if somebody uses the words elu, the dafgahu, and therefore the juice that comes out from the fruit will certainly be asa. That's not a shaila, says the Gemara. Kimi baylon, what is a shaila? If somebody says the word she'eni toyim, without elu, doesn't mean dafka or lay dafka. Doesn't mean everything that emerges or doesn't not. Toshma, we learned in the Mishnah in the previous year. If somebody says dog, dogim sheni toyim, also ben bein gedoilim bein ketanim, bein chayim bein muvasholim, large and small, cooked and raw, umot betrus trufa, but the chopped fish, ubetzir, and the brine and the fish sauce are all mutter. So here we see that the Mishnah uses the language of eini toyim, and yet the halacha is that he's mutter in the juice. So we see that it's the word elu that prohibits the juice that emerges from the fruit, not the words any time. Amar Rava, says Rava, we can't bring a proof from that Mishnah. Because that Mishnah is referring to Kfar Yotzimahen, about juice that already emerged from the fish before the nether was made. But what about juice that comes out from the fish after the nether was made? There, perhaps, if someone uses the lashon of eini toyim, it would also be asur. And therefore we don't have a clear raya. And the Ran, as we learned previously, says, whenever we don't have a clear raya, we have to be machmer, sofik nedarim, sofik deraisa, which we are machmerin.